Good evening, everyone. Okay, so we'll start tonight's message in 1 Kings 3:9, and then we'll offer the service to the Lord. So that's 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can turn to it to gain wisdom, Father, and to help us in our walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that it is true and right, and that through it we can be sanctified to better serve you, Lord, and to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you know the difference between good and bad? Does anybody? It seems in our era of postmodernism that a lot of people struggle with this very simple question. What I think is good is not necessarily so to the next man, it would seem. My idea of bad may not be the same as your bad. Everyone, left to their own devices, will have their own version of righteousness. And this self-righteousness, for that is what it is, the appearance of moral superiority, is not something people can readily dispense with. However evil a person is, they will still have some standard by which to measure everybody else. And when we judge others by our own standard, curiously, we always set the bar of evil just below our own perception of ourselves. So if you'll turn with me to Proverbs 26, very neatly and succinctly put, it's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Now, I'm not so bad, I've never killed anyone, says the thief. What a bad person is that adulterer, declares the gossip. Sinners crave after the appearance of righteousness. We all have some of the Pharisee in our behavior. But relying on self-wisdom, the sinner will not acknowledge the holy standard of righteousness, the true standard of God, which is moral perfection in thought, word, and deed. If they did, it would condemn them. If they sought after such a righteousness, however, surely they would only find it in the person of Jesus Christ. They could only find it in Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Our Lord is telling us that anyone who truly seeks after God's righteousness will find it. There will always be counterfeit righteousness so long as there is sin to cover. Is it any surprise that there are so many so-called churches in this day of wickedness, rampant wickedness? Most are nothing more than fig leaves. They're there to lull the self-deceived who are attending them into a false assurance of purity in heaven. Now, not only does the human standard of righteousness fall short, it is often downright perverted. Supporting sodomy and legalizing homosexual marriage is, in the minds of liberal advocates, a righteous deed. They think they're doing a good thing. Endorsing the murder of infants in the womb, we are told, is really in aid of the noble pursuit of women's rights. Isaiah 5, 20 to 21. So Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 to 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. This is what makes sin so deceitful, not just in its rebellion to God's word, but the fact that sin masquerades as righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So back to this question, how can we know what is really good and what is really bad? The answer is very simple. Whatever God says in his word is good. Anything that he says is bad, is bad. Amen. Psalm 33, 4 to 7. Psalm chapter 33, 4 to 7. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. It is obvious that there is a standard inherent in all things in creation. When a builder builds a house, he has to know not just what to do, but what also not to do. He has to know what materials are good for building and what materials won't do. He has to use judgment. Rock is a good foundation, for instance, but sand is not a good foundation. We are called to judge our own actions as believers as we build on the foundation of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 13. I'll just turn there quickly. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. No man is a reliable judge on his own. He needs God's wisdom before undertaking any kind of work. And this wisdom comes only from God. God created the universe with judgment as well. Genesis 1:31, right at the beginning. So, Genesis chapter 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God judged it to be good. He knew when he made it, the best way to make it. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they weren't relying on God's judgment, they were relying on their own. They thought they knew best. And we know the unhappy consequence of that. So they tried to cover up the consequence, which is sin and death. Still leaning on their own wisdom with fig leaves, they failed to cover it their own way. And this has been man's unhappy plight ever since the fall. We all have a God-given conscience that accuses or excuses us, Romans 2:15, and we often endeavour to stifle this conscience by redefining what is good and bad so that we may excuse ourselves. Now, I have heard that the learning to discern between good and evil is the mark of maturing faith. And Romans 12:2 describes this process. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The flesh is very good at rationalizing sin. And seeing through this is the key to resisting temptation and making the right decisions. I found that God's word is extraordinarily good at making things black and white. Now, if we turn to Hebrews 4:12, I'm sure we've come across this scripture before. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word divides. It's a very binary language, isn't it? So good or bad. There's no grey areas in the Bible. And the world, by contrast, loves to deal in grey areas. It constantly does this. We Christians are called to judge all things. 1 Corinthians 2:14-16. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I don't know if anyone here has ever seen or heard of the phrase, "Only God can judge me." I've seen it tattooed on people, actually. Now, it sounds very confident. It's almost blasé, isn't it? Only God can judge me. No man can judge me. I don't think that the people who get these tattoos have really thought this through. But God's judgment is something that ought to scare us. We don't want judgment. We want grace and mercy from the Lord. This scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:15 that we just looked at, is describing a saved person. The unconverted cannot discern the internal, spiritual, redeemed reality of a born-again Christian because they simply can't discern anything spiritual. The Christian, however, knows the condition of the natural man, being able to discern both natural and spiritual things. We are qualified as believers to judge, with the very important caveat that we don't judge hypocritically. We'll quickly look at another aspect of this faculty and responsibility for judgment laid out in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. It's always a tricky book for me to find. Ecclesiastes. Bear with me, loved ones. Here we go. 3:1-8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pick up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rent, and a time to sow. A time to silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. As these scriptures show, there is a right time for everything. And it helps us to understand those tricky proverbs that seem contradictory, that seem to be paradox. It means that really we need wisdom to know when they're appropriate, the timely application of these proverbs. There are some things, though, when we think of seasons that we have to remember. There is never a good time to sin. John 8:10-11. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 8:10-11. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the woman. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And as the Lord Jesus demonstrated with his miracles on the Sabbath, there is never an inappropriate or bad time to do good. Now, of good works, preaching the gospel being foremost, 2 Timothy 4:2, the last scripture I'll get you to turn to tonight, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In season, out of season, no prohibition there. Some other things, rejoicing, praying, giving thanks, that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, defending the faith, 1 Peter 3:15, praising the Lord, Psalm 34:1, I'm sure you can find many others.